WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Maybe publicists have done wonders to enhance the images of corporations and political parties, but when they tried to work their magic on behalf of Stanford University recently, the press and the faculty had a field day with them. Our linguist Jeff Nunberg confesses, though, that he has a new sympathy for the maligned publicists, which he developed after he read a childhood classic.
It wasn't a speech code exactly, more like a bit of usage advice. The idea was to get the Stanford administration and faculty to speak with one voice in promoting the university and setting it apart from its rivals. To this end, Terry Shepard, the university's director of communications, issued a strategic plan that included a single list of adjectives for people to use when they talked about the place. There were six of them in all: challenging, incomparable, boundless, stunning, Western, and vibrant. Shepard explained the list by saying, if we all use the same terms, Stanford would come to mean the same things to people. It all seems fair enough to me. I don't know that Stanford's any more challenging or incomparable than Yale or Chicago, but it's for sure more Western. And it's certainly more vibrant than those other schools, which are sitting 1,000 miles from the nearest major fault line. According to University President Gerhard Casper, the idea for the list was originally proposed by some Stanford trustees who come from the business world. It's an approach that's worked very nicely for corporations, and a few years ago, Newt Gingrich showed how effective it can be as a political strategy when he had GOPAC issue a list of 64 adjectives for Republican candidates to memorize and use to describe themselves and their opponents. But when the list was leaked to the press, the Stanford faculty proved to be deficient in the team spirit that it takes to put this approach over the top. Academics tend to have the sense that they ought to be allowed to make up their own words. There was a heated meeting of the Faculty Senate, and other adjectives began to fill the air, words like anti-intellectual, vapid, insulting. The president rapidly decided to scrap the plan. I can understand the faculty point of view, but I have to say I feel a certain sympathy for the communications people, too. It's a profession that gets no respect, which is probably why they keep changing the job title every 10 years or so to spruce up their image. They were press agents, then they were public relations people, now they're in communications. But people keep heaping abuse on them. But you have to give them at least this: there's nobody else who has such a devotion to the powers of language. The point came home to me the other night when my daughter and I were reading Charlotte's Web. It's a book that everybody loves, of course, but it must have had a special place in the hearts of the communications folks. I mean, here's this creepy little creature feeding on flies in a corner of the barn who's trying to save a pig from slaughter. So she gets a rat to pick some clippings out of the garbage, and then she spins this gossamer of words out of her bottom, and all of a sudden, everybody's looking at the pigsty with new eyes. What a wonderful fable of the power of a publicist to transform our perceptions of the world. So maybe we could give the people in the Stanford Communications Office the benefit of the doubt on that list of adjectives, particularly when the object of their attentions is something every bit as worthy as Wilbur was. Stanford University, vibrant, stunning, some pig.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.